Good morning. Good to be here worshiping our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a couple announcements before we get into our teaching time this morning. A lot of the flowers here this morning are from Angie Johnson's funeral today, and just wanted to be thankful for that. Just want you to know, by the way, that next week things are a little bit weird here at church. We have Praise in the Park going on, which is a sort of corporate worship service down on the green space there. And you can read about that. I made a decision as a leadership decision I made. The discussion was, you know, what do we do for church that Sunday? Do we just sort of like bunt, or do we give a devotional thought, or we skip it all together? My decision was no, we're going to keep having our regular worship service at 8:30 in the morning. There'll be one service next week. And we're going to continue in our series on the mysteries of heaven. And next week is a very big time message. We're all going to hell as a church. Really, we are. Literally, that's the topic next week. Hell. Why eternal, conscious, never-ending punishment is not enough. So it's a big message next week, and there won't be a second service. There will be a first, and after that first service, we'll be having juice and donuts, and then at our leisure going down to the Praise in the Park service. So look forward to seeing you early next week for that big-time service there. Also want you to know that as a church, we want to remind us, we are continuing in our emphasis to reach our region by knowing our neighbors. That map that's under Dan and Gretchen there in the crow's nest, just a reminder that there's people that we live around that God has placed upon our hearts that we just want to get to know. People that we're just right there with them. We just got to build relational bridges and hope that God would use that to be able to share the gospel with them, the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's a little bit more announcements that are important. They're right on the front of your bulletin. Let's go ahead and get into our teaching time here this morning. Take out your outlines. Just a little question. You know, as a pastor, you want to make sure that your message is applicable to people that are listening to it. So I just want to see if this is going to apply to any of us. Is there anybody here who is suffering or knows somebody who is suffering with a crippling disease? Something like MS, maybe diabetes, Parkinson's, lupus, arthritis, fibromyalgia. Anybody suffering with that or know somebody suffering with something that's crippling them? Well, a few of you. Okay, well, is there anybody here who has had a disease that almost took their life? Maybe they battled with cancer or they've had a heart disease. Anybody? Well, a couple of you would be interested in this message. Is there anybody here who gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror and is completely satisfied with what they see? Only the pastor's kid. Okay, well, I got another question for you. Are there any ladies here who get up and see themselves in the mirror and they don't dare put on any Mary Kay because it only just destroyed the beauty that God has already given? Men, all the ladies are wearing makeup. This we know. Well, I'd like to welcome you to Faith Evangelical Free Church. My name is Kurt. I'm one of the pastors here. And this summer, we're in a series called The Mysteries of Heaven. And we are learning what God has in store for His kids after we die. We learned some really cool stuff earlier in this series. First of all, we learned that when we die, instantly, our spirits go to be with the Lord. Because the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul says, which is better by far. So that's pretty cool. But we also learned earlier in this series when we were studying Revelation 21 and 22 that God is not going to allow Satan to have a victory over God's children and over this earth. As if Satan can sit there and say, well, you redeemed their souls, but I was able to destroy their bodies and destroy this creation. God's not going to let Satan get away with that. Revelation 21 and 22 tells us that God will create a new heavens and a new earth. and it will be better than this one. Because what God does, he never just brings it up to what it was when he restores something. He always makes it new and vastly improved. You know, God has to always improve on what he's done. That's just what he does. But there's a really neat part about that. Because in the new heavens and the new earth, it's not just going to be a new creation, but there's also going to be new bodies that we get. And just like the creation, our bodies are going to be new and vastly improved. Now, I can see from just that little audience participation thing we did earlier, I think everyone is pretty interested in finding out what our new and improved bodies are going to be like, because nobody besides my son is quite satisfied with what they see in the mirror. So we're going to look at what our better bodies are going to be. Now, probably the most interesting thing to do would be to see if we could get a hold of one of these better bodies and test it out and look at it and examine it and see what a resurrection body looks like. But that sounds like something that would be really impossible to do because we don't have one sitting around at our disposal. But the Bible does tell us that there was a prototype. There was a first one that was made, and we can examine that one. It was Jesus Christ's resurrection body. He is the firstborn from among the dead, the scripture says. And we are going to be in our resurrection body very similar to what his resurrection body is like. When we look at his resurrection body, we can learn what our resurrection body is like. Look what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Or 1 Corinthians 15:49. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. We've borne Adam's image. We will eventually bear the resurrected Christ's image. Well, this morning it's going to be a very simple sermon. There's just going to be three parts to it. We're just going to take a look and say, how will our resurrection bodies be similar to the ones we have now? Then we're going to flip it around. How will our new resurrection bodies be different? And then we're just going to take a few minutes at the end and apply this. So what does this mean for us today? And I think you'll be surprised. There is some incredibly practical applications to what we're looking at today. So let's begin. How will our new bodies be similar? I'd like to begin by asking this question here. Will we get a new body, or are we going to get a renovated old one? What do you think? A new body completely, or a renovated old one? And we all wrestle with these kind of questions, don't we? The car breaks down, it goes into the shop, the engine is blown. What's the question? Hey, honey, do we put a new engine in the car, or we just ditch this whole thing and get a completely new one? What do you think? It sounds like it's a possibility that we could get a resurrected old one if you have people that are buried in the grave. You know, all their stuff is right there, right under the tombstone. But what about people who were cremated when they went up in smoke and their ashes were scattered? What about people who were in war and they're blown up by a bomb? What about somebody who was eaten by sharks? One limb went one way in the ocean, the other limb went the other way. Can it really be the self-same body that is resurrected again? Well, let's go to our prototype. Let's see about Christ's body. Was it the self-same body, or was it a new body? Let's go ahead and look what it says in Scripture. Luke 24:39. He says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." It's me, guys. I'm back. Or John chapter 2, verses 19 and 21. He says, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And then in verse 21, the temple he had spoken of was his body. He didn't say, destroy this temple. I'm going to build a completely new and different one in 3 days. This same temple is going to be resurrected in 3 days. In fact, I like the way the Westminster Larger Catechism summarizes the answer to this question. They say this, the selfsame bodies of the dead, which were laid in the grave, being then again united to their souls forever, shall be raised up by the power of Christ. Guess what, guys? These bodies that we have now, these are going to be the selfsame bodies that are resurrected, that are turned into our spiritual bodies. So you're not going to go in the grave, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, maybe from Britain, and then get resurrected as an Italian. It's the self-same body. Now, I know this sounds very difficult because you think about what about the people who are cremated and the people who are their self-same bodies are scattered throughout this creation. And there's all kinds of intellectual problems that we have conceiving how God can do this. But didn't he raise Jesus Christ from the dead in the self-same body? Isn't our universe going to be destroyed, as it would say, but renewed by fire, the entire creation, and then restored to the new heaven and the new earth? And if he can do this for the entire creation, why would our bodies be a problem for him? Really, it's a problem in our imagination, but not in God's capability. That's the truth. And why does he give us the self-same bodies? Because the bodies that we have are not inherently evil. They're good. God created them. God gave them to us. And by resurrecting them and restoring them, he's bringing what our bodies should have been to the fruition. Not saying, well, I messed up on the first one. I got to start all over again. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 37, there's a famous time when Ezekiel was told to preach to a valley of dry bones. Anybody remember that? He preaches in the valley of dry bones, and he's like, how shall these dead bones live? And God's like, just preach. Just preach. You know, it's a favorite preacher's favorite verse for a dead and dying congregation. You know, and the bones, they come together, and the flesh comes on them, and it's raised a vast and mighty army. And it's not hard for God to bring our bodies back together. He can definitely do it. And we're going to get our self-same bodies back. Though, I should qualify it. It's our bodies free from the effects of sin and corruption and all the things that evil has done upon us. All that is stripped away. Next question. Will we have our memories? What do you think? Get our bodies back, but will our memories still be good? Go to the prototype. Jesus Christ's resurrected body. Did Jesus Christ have his memories about his life on earth? Of course. He picked up with Peter, with Thomas, with Mary, in his relationships with them, right where he left off. Didn't he? When we receive our resurrected bodies, what are we going to do with our relationships? Will we know the people that we love? Yes, we will pick up with them right where we leave off. That's the way it was with Christ. That's the way it will be with us. This is good news. Well, how about this? I'm going to have some fun. I mean, just a little July 4th thing. Let's think about this. Will we eat in our resurrected bodies? Eating? Well, Pastor, shouldn't we talk about something more spiritual than food? When we were on vacation, we completely stripped out our refrigerator. I mean, why leave it in there for 2 weeks? This is going to come back and be green and moldy. So we came in the door, and there was expecting to be nothing in the refrigerator, but our neighbors, the elderly couple, they are so cool. They're watching our house. They knew we'd come home to an empty fridge, and so she made this stuff. I don't quite know what it was, a big bowl of it. It's sort of a combination of cold tomato soup and salsa with fresh tomatoes and cilantro and all this stuff. You know, that kind of fresh salsa, that's like the crack cocaine of the food group. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you just can't stop eating that stuff. And they put this stuff in our refrigerator. And I'm like, honey, this is good. We got to get a recipe. This is good. We got to make this ourselves. We got to go away on vacation more often. This is great. I mean, food and the joy of it and the pleasure of it. It was created by God to be pleasurable to eat. It's part of this creation. Why would we get to the next creation and then him say, oh, that was great. I created it. I hoped you loved it. But don't you dare eat when you get here. You have the self-same bodies. Yeah. Physical, flesh and blood bodies. But don't eat. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Now, how about this? Let's go check our prototype. Jesus Christ and his resurrected body. Did he ever eat? Oh, yeah. He ate in his resurrected flesh and blood body. In fact, he didn't just eat. He even made breakfast. John chapter 21 says that Jesus was making breakfast on the beach for his disciples. Come on, guys. I've got some fish. I'm making the breakfast for you again. And what does it say? In Luke 24, 40 through 43, his eating is one of the ways he proved to his disciples that it was really flesh and blood him. Is when they had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. Christ ate in his resurrected bodies, so will we. See, we have this idea, it's been drilled in us from our culture, that we're going to be like Jacob Marley. Remember the Christmas Carol thing with Ebenezer Scrooge? And he comes along, he's the Phantom, and we're going to all be like him. There's like vapor you can wipe your hand through all day long. And that is totally unbiblical. In the new heavens and the new earth, we have physical flesh and blood bodies. And yes, we will be able to eat because Christ ate. Now, let me just help you out a little bit about this, because I know a number of you are thinking, sort of have this sort of love-hate relationship with food, because why we love food, we sort of hate it because you know what I'm saying. We eat too much of it and it tastes too good. And so we're thinking, well, maybe in eternity we'll eat, but it's all going to be those lean cuisine, low-calorie, 100-portion meals, you know? That's how we're going to do it in eternity. No, that's not going to be lean cuisine mini-meals. It's going to be a real, honest-to-goodness taste and meal. What does it say in Scripture? Revelation 19, verse 9. What are we going to be at? Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I don't know if you know what's going on here. This is playing off the Jewish culture bit. In our culture, we do not do that good of a job of partying. You think we do. We don't compared to the Jews. You have a wedding, we have a reception afterward, a nice meal, we all go home, we're done with the party. In the Jewish culture, they partied for an entire week. I mean, they had to lay people on their sides and roll them out of the tent when they were done. Because they just ate for a week, solid, straight. That's how they partied. And what does it say here? Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What's that? That's Jesus Christ. Who's the bride? We are. And you think it's going to be lean cuisine for a week? No. It's going to be honest to goodness enjoyment. By the way, just to tell you, I think that in our body, I think our metabolism will be restored and vastly improved. So it'll be like we're teenagers again. It won't be that big of a deal. That's just my personal thoughts on it. And we're all going, amen. I thought it was the Baptist congregation. You know, yeah, go metabolism. Well, here's another question for you, just playing off the food fun here. Will the food taste the same? Anybody have a favorite food? Tell me your favorite food. Somebody call it out.
Pasta.
What? What?
Steak.
Oh. Chocolate. That comes from our ladies. Ice cream. Oh, good stuff. We have a lot of favorite foods. And when my wife makes lasagna and she's cooking it in the kitchen and I start smelling it, I'm literally drooling. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be good. Well, where is the food in the new creation that we will eat with our new body is going to taste that good? No, it won't. It won't taste like it does now. Sorry to disappoint you. It'll be vastly better. Remember? Everything that God renews, He improves. So the food is going to taste better, and our resurrected taste buds are going to be able to taste it even better. Even more thankfulness and glory to God for the good tasting food. Well, how about this? Will we still have our gender, identity, and race? Are we all going to look the same, like little carbon copies of each other? Little cherubs that came off the Saturday morning cartoons? I don't think so. How do we discover the answer to this question? We go to the prototype, Jesus Christ. Well, what's one of the first things that we find about Christ after his resurrection? Mary goes to the tomb. She doesn't recognize him as Christ yet, resurrected. But what she does recognize is his gender, first of all. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Right away, she noticed Jesus as a male. Will we still have our gender in eternity? Yes. If God made you a woman, he made you that way. God made you a man, he made you that way. Good things about God's creation. And by the way, right after that, I didn't include it in here, what does Mary hear? Jesus' voice. And she recognizes him by his voice. So will we still maintain our identity? Yes. Now, some of you are, I know, a little disappointed about this because you're thinking, oh, I was hoping to get a better voice because I don't like my voice right now. Well, your voice will be free from the effects of sin, but it's still going to be you in your resurrected body. Same gender, same identity, and by the way, the same race. As I was joking with a friend, we're not going to all be buried in the grave as people from Britain and then wake up in Mexico. No, that's not the way it works. We maintain our race. In fact, God created all these different races. And you know why? God likes variety. God likes creativity, and it's all to God's glory. He loves it that way. I like where it says this in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." Different racial identities in eternity. Yes. Well, we've talked about a lot of ways that we're similar to our bodies now will be like our bodies then. How about this one? Will we be able to materialize where we want? Because we've been talking about that. You know, Jesus did that. He had the Star Trek transporter room thing down perfect. And just ding, 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 just showing up wherever he wanted to. Will we be able to do that? What do you guys think? You guys think so? Well, I'm not too sure. See, that was a trick question. I'm not too sure. I'll tell you why. Well, let's first of all look at some of these things here. Luke 24:31 says, "And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." Beam me up, Scotty, right there. Or Luke 24:36-37. "And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit." Like, where did you come from? Beam me down. So I told you, I'm not too sure we're going to be able to do this. And why do I say that? I think the ability of Christ to be anywhere at any time is more a function of his omnipresence as God rather than his physicality as man. I'm not going to die on this. You know, just thinking about it. But God is the one who can be any place at any time. We're not the kind of people who can be any place at any time. In fact, in the New Jerusalem, when we studied that, the New Jerusalem has streets of gold, remember? Why would it have streets if nobody ever needed them? We could just pop wherever we wanted to at any time. Like, well, yeah, we have those streets. Nobody uses them. We just go. We want to go here. We want to go there. Just snap our fingers and then we're gone. So I don't know. We may not be able to materialize where we want. But here's the thing I want you to understand. And this is such a corrective for most of our mindset. Because when we think of the new heavens and the new earth, and we think of our resurrected bodies, we always think that these bodies are going to be so different from the ones we have now. That we're going to look in the mirror and we're not going to recognize ourselves. But according to Scripture, they're very similar to the ones we have now. We'll look in the mirror and we will recognize ourselves. But all the effects of sin, all the effects of aging, and all the effects of the corruption in this nature that sin has brought about will be stripped away from our bodies. It's like we've reached our full DNA genetic potential through Christ. And our spirits are reunited with those bodies. Well, we've talked about ways that we're similar. Now comes the big question. How are we different? There certainly are a number of ways that we're different. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks extensively about the resurrection body and ways the body is similar and the ways the body is different. I just want to take a few of his cues out of the way the body is different according to 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15. First of all, our bodies will be immortal. That's what it says. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. Our bodies that we're in right now, think of yourself like a carton of milk. When you go to Walmart, you know that carton of milk that says best if used by? Each one of us has a stamp on us someplace that says best if used by, because otherwise we're going to go rotten over time. That's just the way our bodies are now because of the effects of sin, and that's why we die, because sin produces death. Well, the nice part is that in eternity, all the effects of sin are removed, and so is the effect of death. In fact, we talked about this in the New Jerusalem. There in the center of the city is the tree of life, right? So with all the effect of sin is removed and the tree of life is available to us, guess what? According to Scripture, we're going to live forever. And this shouldn't totally surprise us because even in this creation, remember pre-flood times? How long were people hanging around then? 700 years, 900 years? No, God did not design us to get to age 50 and start taking Lipitor to make a couple more years. That's not the way we were created. We were created to live. Secondly, our body will be different this way. We will be filled with power. What does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. I don't know what it's like for you guys, and you 20-somethings don't have a clue what's coming. But those of us who are getting a little bit older, we're discovering that we don't have the abilities we used to. I can't lift the kind of weights I used to lift. I can't jog like I used to. I thought this past week, oh, it's such a nice day out. I'd go for a jog, and I said, I'm going to go down here. And I ran, got halfway down my farthest away point, and I said, I'm having to walk the whole way home. I don't have the kind of strength like I used to anymore. That's the way our bodies are. They get weaker and weaker over time. I mean, honestly, what happens now is I can't even watch Letterman. I have to go to bed. And it's not uncommon for my kids to put me to bed and read me the story. That happened last night. David put me to bed and read me a story. Good night, Daddy.
Yeah, good night.
So our bodies are sown in weakness, but it says they are raised in power. And our resurrection bodies, this word power is the word dunamis in the Greek, which is where we get our word dynamite from in the English. And literally, all the duna category words in the Greek, they mean capability. They mean energy. It's can-do potential. Because what is it like for us a lot of times? We say, I would like to do that, but you know what? I just don't have the energy to do it. I just don't have the bandwidth in my life to do it. That's the characteristic of our sinful, falling apart, earthly bodies. But our resurrection bodies are going to have just the opposite characteristics. Like, you know, it's can-do power. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I can bring glory to the Lord through my life and the choices I make and the things I do, because I've got lots of ability and energy to do it. That's the characteristic of the body. It's pretty exciting stuff. Can-do power. Now, let's have some more fun in this area. We had some fun in the last area. We talked about eating. Well, let's have some fun in this area. We will radiate glory. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, our body is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Or Philippians chapter 3, 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what will he do? He will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. So far, the line of argumentation that we have been following is that we know what our bodies are going to be like because they're like Christ's resurrection body after he rose from the dead. But you notice that we have been looking at what Christ's resurrection body was like before he went back to heaven. That self-same body went back to heaven. And he would have blended into a crowd pretty nicely right after the resurrection. But when he went home to heaven and was glorified by his Father, he doesn't blend in the crowd well at all. What does it say? This is how John describes the glorified Christ in heaven. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, in other words, a human being, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. His hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. And in his hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And they have the keys of death and Hades." Sounds like he had a major wattage upgrade. But really what happened was, while on earth, he veiled his deity. But when in heaven, he let his deity fully shine through and radiate through his humanity. And it's not just this passage. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus encounters the risen Christ, and he gets knocked right back off and leaves his socks behind practically. Acts chapter 22, 6 through 8. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." I remember 2 weeks ago in the last message in this series in Revelation 22, 23, we learned that there is no S-U-N in the new creation because the light comes from the S-O-N. So he's very glorious and very bright. And a number of Bible scholars think that it won't just be him radiating and glowing with glory, but it may also be us. Remember Hebrews chapter 2? We learned that God is taking us home to heaven to be little kings and little queens to reign and rule in the new creation under him. And what did it say earlier? He'll transform our body to be like his glorious body. There's a real possibility that if there is such a thing as a dark room in the new creation, that you could walk into it and not need a flashlight after all. I'm not going to die on this, but it's a possibility. And even if we don't glow in and of ourselves from the highly exalted position we get because of being the adopted brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, remember Moses? He was like one of those kids things where you put it under the light bulb for a while and you take it off and it glows for a while. It's a real possibility that we may glow just because we're hanging out in the presence of Christ as his adopted brothers and sisters, and we go out and we glow. It's a possibility. That's pretty neat. So one way our bodies would differ is we could glow with glory that is given to us that we don't inherently have in us. Now, I know what a number of you are thinking. You're thinking, thank you, Pastor. I feel like I'm ready to play a game of Bible Trivial Pursuit. Give me the heaven category. I've got this one under control. But this has no practical good for my life this week. I am so thankful you are wondering what good this does, because this connects in a big way with us. Let me explain to you how this connects. What difference does this make? Here we go. The frailties of our earthly bodies build a desire for the health, power, and vitality we will have in our resurrection bodies. The frailties of our earthly bodies build a desire for the health, power, and vitality that we will have in our resurrection bodies. You ever get up and your shoulder aches, your knee aches, you feel weak, you feel worn out? Every time you feel that in your body, every time you feel weak and wasting, let it build an appetite where you say to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to be stuck in this falling apart body forever. This self same body will be resurrected, stripped out of all the effects of sin and degradation and corruption that is in it, and I'm going to live in it for eternity. You know, I'm sick and tired of Christians who think they're like candidating for the bucket list movie. You know what the bucket list movie is? We got to do all these things before we kick the bucket, because once I kick the bucket, I'm never going to get a chance to do it again. That is pure paganism. Well, yeah, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will not get a chance to do it again for eternity, because you'd be up to your neck in burning tar and roofing sulfur for eternity. But as Christ's children, he will create a new heaven and a new earth, a very physical one, and give us a new body where we will be able to enjoy the real physical pleasures of God's creation for eternity. Free of pain, and our bodies falling apart. Now, is that good news or what? Every time you feel a pain in your back, the hurt in your arm, think of your resurrection body. It's there to remind you you're getting a better one. Secondly, when sin threatens to destroy the physical pleasures we have in our earthly bodies, we have the promise of even greater physical pleasures in the new creation with our resurrection bodies. This is something that we think of all the time when somebody's life is snuffed out or cut short when they are young, and we think there are so many things that they would have a chance to enjoy in this earth, and now they don't get a chance to enjoy or experience at all. Well, wait a minute. That's paganism again. The truth is that for those who know and love Jesus Christ, what was taken away is their pleasure in this life that is really like grade C pleasure, grade D pleasure, because it is tainted and influenced by sin and corruption. But what is given to God's children is triple A pleasure. Remember, God, he makes new and vastly improved creation, new and vastly improved resurrection bodies that we as Christians will have for eternity. That's why Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. Do we grieve the loss of someone we love? Oh, of course. But we don't grieve like others who have no hope. Because real life, fully restored and better life is the promise to those who are Christ's kids. That's us. Vastly different if you don't know Christ. That's next week. Hell, eternal, conscious, never-ending punishment. But for those who do know Jesus Christ, it's better. Thirdly, the joys experienced in this life bait our imagination for the even greater joys we'll have in the next. That's really what God wants you to do. Let the joys of this life bait your imagination for what the greater joys will be in the next. We drove all the way out to Philadelphia. We went to the Jersey Shore. We went all over the cities, Chicago. A lot of vacation time, a lot of car sitting time. And we came back, and I just want you to know, we came back and said, we love Iowa. I just have to tell you, we do. There is nothing like the cleanness of this air. There is nothing like the beauty of the corn and the soybeans and the crops growing and seeing the flowers and everything in creation. And it is just such a pleasure to enjoy God's creation here. But every time you enjoy something in God's creation that is good, whether it's the beauty of the sky, whether it's the taste of the food, let it bait your mind for what it's going to be like when it's even better in the new creation in our resurrection bodies. So how does it apply? The pain in our body reminds we're going to get a better one, and the pleasures in our body remind us that there are even greater ones around the corner for us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredibly good news that you love us through Jesus Christ and that you are going to give back to us and improve for us all the things that sin and evil has taken away from your children. This creation of this planet and our body that are being influenced by sin and death. Thank you for being so good and so kind. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.